Hello, welcome to FinTech Impact. I'm your host, Jason Pereira. Today's show, I have Ryan Eisman, co-founder and CEO of Arch. Arch is a platform that aggregates information in the alt space, specifically in private markets, to help advisors and their back offices better manage these investments. And with that, here's my interview with Ryan. Ryan, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Jason. Appreciate it.
So Ryan Eisman of Arch, tell us about Arch.
So started the company 6 years ago with two co-founders, both MIT software engineers and math, with the idea of it's really painful to be a private investor. If you have all your investments in a Schwab, a Fidelity, a Robinhood, a MorganStanley.com, your life is pretty easy. You have one to 99, you can log into a single platform and see how your Apple position and your Coca-Cola position is doing. But if you own Blackstone, Kleiner Perkins, Sequoia Capital, any kind of alternative investment, your life is pretty complicated. You have K-1s for each investment, you have capital calls and distributions you need to send or receive, and you have statements that come mostly in PDF format that you need to get from lots of different clunky portals. We simplify that for you by aggregating all your documents and data into a single platform, making sense of your data and helping you understand what you've invested in, how those investments are performing, and any of the key things you need to know about those investments, while automating the majority of the underlying admin work and operational work.
All right. So clearly you started this company because there was a massive pain in the butt that everybody was dealing with that you saw an opportunity to deal with. But talk to me about the ideation. What did you see? What inspired it? How did it come to be?
Yeah, there's a massive gaping hole here. The way that I met my two co-founders who knew each other since their days of MIT was through a private investor who had about 100 K-1 generating venture and private equity funds. And we were independently ideating on ideas in the space. And he focused us around, yes, and or what about K-1s? I get them every year. They're really painful. I need to chase them and track them down. That's painful for me. It's painful for my advisor and painful for my accountant. And I have to, at some point, take this spreadsheet of all the line items I'm looking for, go into all these different clunky portals, download those documents, and it's just a terrible process. If you could solve that process, I'd love to be a customer. And then it turned into, if you guys start this company together, I'd love to be an investor and an advisor. So that was a lot of how we got started as a company, was having this investor and another family office as design partners to build out the first versions of Arch in late 2017, early 2018. And then being able to have the backing of serial entrepreneurs and those that know how to build businesses to get this off the ground at its earliest stages.
Okay. This is, quote unquote, a relatively newer market when we're talking about the retail investor and advisor getting involved. So it's not surprising that deals that were typically private and bespoke don't have the same kind of integration and rails and systems in place that the stock market does, which has been accessible to retail investors for a lot longer than these markets. So it's the need is not surprising. So you summed up the problem more or less in terms of you're getting a lot of disparate pieces of information, typically in PDF format and whatnot. So how are you solving for this?
Yeah. So what we do is we get added to the information flow in what is called being an interested party on the client's behalf. That allows us to digitally collect the information that every asset manager sends to their investors. An asset manager is an interesting term. Like you look into it, it's okay, someone that manages assets. Took me maybe a year or two to figure out that just means these are the private equity funds and the venture funds and the real estate investors that someone would invest capital in to then allocate that capital to a certain kind of investment. So what's the asset manager's job? Their job is first and foremost to generate returns. So that's what they focus the majority of their time on. There is this customer experience side of this, which is how they communicate with their clients or their limited partners that has been fully overlooked and is something that they really don't invest in. Because if you're thinking about what asset manager to choose, you're most likely going to choose them based on the returns that they generate and maybe some level of how you know them rather than like what their portal or client experience or reporting looks like. But it's a really important part of the process. And especially as asset managers spend more time on retail and wealth management and the family office space versus selling their products to institutions, then it becomes a much bigger part of what needs to change or what needs to happen. Because the like investment advisor or the like more wealth management client needs a better interface and will demand a better interface and more of a consumer experience for their investments. So what we're likely doing, is picking up what experience should be there, but doesn't exist today.
Okay. So bottom line is you're just basically standing in the middle saying, hey, give us a copy of everything. And then that enables you to automate that. So talk to me about, okay, receive that information. What are you doing with it? And how, well, just basically a start there. I'm going to go downstream to, until it gets to the actual advisor and client.
Yeah. So we are pulling all the PDFs from every source into Arch as a single source of truth for where your documents live. We're digitizing the key PDFs or key documents that we receive. It's mostly PDFs, but sometimes you get a doc, an email, an Excel spreadsheet, something else. But we're digitizing those and turning it into structured, standardized data so that we know across all your funds, here's the value as of 12/31. So as soon as a fund reports to us or an investment reports, we take those numbers, we digitize them, we put them into a system that tracks balances, values, unfunded commitments, funded to date, cash flows in and out. So we do that with capital calls and distributions as well. And then that information lives in our system and then is easily exportable to integration systems, whether it's reporting or accounting systems like Adapar, Black Diamond, Orion, et cetera.
Yeah. So effectively, you're taking the offline data and becoming the source of truth for that database.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to give you a standardizable source of truth of what do I own, what do I owe, and how do I get that into my balance sheet.
All right. So effectively now, so you're providing the back end of this. You're providing any of the front end as well?
Yeah. So we have a client-facing portal that you can log into where you can see that information visually. A lot of folks come to us and they don't have a reporting system or don't have a general ledger or just need a way to very easily at a snapshot understand what are my investments and how are they performing and what key things do I need to manage with them. So there's that part that can be like in client-facing. And then there's also tools and workflows that are advisor or operations facing. So what are the capital calls I need to complete? How do I make sure that I do the process correctly? So we're building workflow tools for things like capital calls, K1s, as I mentioned before, big topic for us. We have hats on the back. They say got K1s. That's our little slogan, a riff on the got milk. And so there's also an accountant login as well, where accountants can log in and see, okay, great. I'm expecting 50 tax documents. I've received 48. I'm missing one K1 and one 1099. So we're really focused on giving people access to the information and documents they need at the right time, informing them what they need to know of, and then making that data exportable and portable to the systems that you need to access it through.
Excellent. So then, okay, so you're giving them their own console. You're basically pushing out to other vendors. Talk to me about the how much work it was to get those vendors on board. Were they eager to get this information, or were they basically, we want to get in the space ourselves? What were you finding in terms of those conversations?
Yeah, very beginning, when you're starting the company and you're a 3, 4, 5 person company, we're like, who are you? And why would we take information from you? Or like, why do we need to prioritize you in our partnership program? We have a funny story or two about using a demo environment to try to produce, hey, here's how we can fit with this reporting system, because a client really wanted us to fit with their reporting system. And so it's like, you have to bootstrap the process. And we I think built out more reports in the demo environment than anyone ever had for this one reporting system, until at some point we had enough validation where they're like, okay, great. Like, we see why you're important. We understand like who your investors are, who your clients are, and that there's a strategic reason to work together. And they eventually let us into their partner program. So that was the first one, was really hard. Now we're at a point of scale where we can be a meaningful partner for the clients we work with and for the tech partners we work with. And by sending them leads as well, and by being really collaborative, now we often see these companies are coming to us and saying, hey, we'd love to figure out ways to put your data into our system because it's strategically important to our clients. So that's a fun shift to see of like how we can really be a part of a broader partnership ecosystem and be a valuable node to others out in the market as well.
So there's a bit of a weird feedback loop here in that the only way you get access, it's not, so you're, let's just say I'm an advisor and I work in this space, right? And I'm working with one of the companies you mentioned for report generation or tracking or whatever else it is. And I look at you and say, okay, this is great. I'm going to sign up with you guys. And you already have a database of a lot of this stuff, right? Yeah. But if I sign up for something you haven't seen before, now you have to basically like, so the originating advisor effectively is the one that gets you access to the information that then opens up and basically allows you to put it in your inventory effectively, right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. And it's pretty easy to add new investments. We, for the most part, just need contact information of who's the asset manager that you invested in. Oftentimes, like, we have most of the major managers mapped, but it might be like, oh, this is a small real estate partnership that we invest in, or this is an international fund that we invest in, maybe we haven't seen before. And but we can take the same procedures and same kind of ways that we've digitized our onboarding process. And that's a big focus for us as a company, Because if you can't get people on board quickly and if you can't get people on board in a strong way, then things don't overall, like it's, you basically just have to get people on board quickly for people to be successful. But if it's a new investment, we have a tight process for how to add those to the platform.
Excellent. That said, so what's the turnaround time on something like that look like?
Typically, if a client comes in and say they have 200 to 300 private equity positions or different kinds of alternative investments, we think of that as like a 10 to 12 week onboarding process. And so that's soup to nuts of we take an investment list, we process it and pull it into our platform. We get letters of authorization signed, and then we go out to all the asset managers and get them or their fund admins to accept those and add Arch to the flow of information.
Excellent. So I'm curious, have any of them started to basically move into the modern world and start giving you data feeds as opposed to PDFs, or is that just, I'm just talking crazy?
A small amount. Got an email over the weekend of a large fund administrator that now wants to build a data feed and give us information programmatically via API. And so that's always exciting to see when people do start to evolve and start to send information digitally. Most of what we have to do is create our own automation on top of what people are sending today, because this is not that progressive of a space in terms of that.
There's no data standardization protocols where everybody's pushing out the exact right way.
Exactly. And you've had folks try to do this in the past. There's ILPA where they tried to create a standard of how information is reported to institutionalized LPs, but it doesn't cover a lot of the funds and investments that the majority of wealth clients would invest in. And also, you're still sending a spreadsheet instead of it being like a true data feed of information.
Just the same old information in the new way.
Yeah.
Lovely. Exactly. All right. So effectively, you come in and essentially you've laid down the pipes is what you've done. And hopefully, as things scale and things get bigger, you become potentially a protocol almost to some degree.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So talk to me about the reception from advisors. What is the value proposition? Is pretty obvious. When they look at you, are there any pullbacks? Like, what's keeping them up from onboarding?
Yeah. Right now, traction with advisors is like in a really good spot. It was hard initially back to the being a 3, 4, 5 person company. And there's a private bank where we're in late stage talks with right now that was really interested initially, but more from a conceptual standpoint. And they were, we can't buy from two guys in a garage. Granted, it wasn't two guys in a garage, it was three in an apartment at the time, but it was still like we were too small to serve a massive firm with tens of billions of assets under management. And now we as a company manage tens of billions of assets and have hundreds of clients and have a lot of validation of how we've worked with advisors and large private banks and money center banks. And so we have the ability to say, hey, you're not our largest client, most likely we've worked with folks like you. And here's our exact protocol for how we work with you, get you on board, how you'll use our platform and where you'll see ROI. So we can show them like a really strong business case of how this can power their business. And there's a part of it, which is saving time and costs and freeing them up to do more strategic work for their clients. Part of it that makes them more attractive to the next client that they bring on board, especially when they're serving complex clients that have existing K-1s or existing outside investments, which we can help them aggregate. And there's a part of it, which is thinking about the lack of a client experience in this market writ large. We can deliver a really strong digital experience for the advisory firm and for their clients, which is a big focus for us as a company.
Absolutely. I got to think that anyone's in this space is going to basically not going to have a lot of protest as to why they should work with you, quite honestly. So yeah, and then talk to me about the willingness of the party, the private equity parties. How are they? You must be happy also to just offload this and have people stop bugging them.
Yeah, exactly. Because part of this is by centralizing the receipt of data, we can also centralize the request back. Because if you're in the IR department, investor relations of a private equity firm, you're continually getting questions of, hey, can you help me reset my password? Or I'm looking for my K-1, where is it? Or you told me I have a capital call, but I can't find it on the portal. We remove a lot of those questions from needing to be asked because we organize this information in a way that's easy for the LP to understand and find their information. And then if we are making a request back to the asset management firm, we can do it once on behalf of all the Arch clients. So we can say, hey, Blackstone, where is the 2023 K-1 for this fund? Has it been released or is it planned in the future? And then if they say, oh, it's coming on April 1st, we can then take that April 1st number and populate our date and populate it in for all the clients on Arch and do that chasing on behalf of all of them instead of each client individually needing to contact Blackstone. So it should make life a lot easier and more convenient for the asset management firms. That's a big part of what we're looking to achieve as well, so that they love us and want all their LPs to go on to Arch.
Absolutely. They can offload the work. Good. But that's where you're currently at. Where do you see this going, quite honestly?
So we look at all the things that are still painful for folks today. And we think of it as the human in the loop problem for managing an alternative investment. If you are back to the stock example, if you're trading Apple shares, you go into your Robinhood or your Fidelity account and you buy them, and then everything is tracked for you. And the payment flow is all automated and everything else is automated. We think the same thing should essentially happen within the alt world. Once you invest in a private equity fund or real estate or something else, we want to make it so that everything is automated from reporting and accounting to payments and paying capital calls and receiving distributions, tax, whole soup to nuts operating system for managing an alternative investment. We want this to be a utility that everyone, large and small, can use. And ultimately, if we do our job right and do that well, we can make alts accessible to a wider group of people, both from a, this is less painful to own an alternative investment. We hear all the time that people will stop investing in different kinds of alts because of the pain of managing and the investment, but also it could be accessible in smaller bites instead of having to make a $1 million+ commitment. Maybe it can be a smaller commitment that is both good for the asset manager because they can bring in more AUM, and also good for the client because they get accessibility to these investments that they otherwise might not have been able to invest in.
Excellent. So before we wrap up, there's three questions I ask everyone. First one is, if you had one wish for something you could change in your company and industry as a whole, what would it be?
We would love more data feeds. We would love to be able to work more collaboratively with the different fund admins and be able to have like programmatic ways to have them add us to the interested party list and then feed us data. That would be amazing. We'll make that happen over the long run.
Data feeds are a common wish on this show. And then the second question I have for you is, what's been the hardest part of getting the company to where it is today?
It's just a cold start problem of how do you get clients without initial traction. So how do you get traction without traction? It was hard to convince people to adopt the platform early on until they knew, oh, this respected bank or this respected peer of theirs is using Arch. Now that's no longer a problem that we really have. And the majority of our clients today come in through some kind of inbound referral. So that helps a lot because people are hearing about us through someone they trust. But that was the hardest thing at the beginning.
All right. Last question I have for you is, what keeps you motivated? What excites you about what it is you're doing? Gets you up in the morning every day to keep on fighting a good fight.
We love customer experiences and also customer pain points. And when customer pain points turn into customer experiences. So when a client will say, hey, Arch, I have this problem. Can you help me with X? How can you help me understand what the private equity firms are saying in their investor letters? And, oh yeah, we can actually use a generative AI to summarize your investor letters. So that instead of having to read multiple 8-page, 10-page documents, we can give you a paragraph so you can understand those investor letters and what your funds are actually reporting. And then we go and work on this with our product and engineering team. We launch a first version, we get feedback, we launch a second version, and then we hear our clients say, wow, this is amazing. I now take these, I put them, and then I give just your summaries to our principals so they can understand their investments, or to my clients so they can understand their investments. And hearing that real client feedback and seeing that whole loop is really exciting for us. So we want to bring more clients onto the platform so that we can build more for them, so we can learn more with them. And we want to be the company that learns the most about what clients need and then put that into action and create really good software with that.
Excellent. Well, keep laying those lines, those train tracks. You're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time today.
Jason, thank you. It's great to be here.
So that was this episode of FinTech Impact. If you're in the market for an alts feed, you know where to look now. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, or whatever is your podcast. Until next time, take care.
This podcast was brought to you by Woodgate Financial, an award-winning financial planning firm catering to high-net-worth individuals and their families. To learn more, go to woodgate.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, or find more episodes at jasonpereira.ca.